Are you tired? Are you weary? Worn out? Run down? Ready to give up? Jesus always says, come to me. Come to me. Every day. Maybe you hear him once in a while. Maybe you hear him in the circumstances or in a music or in a song or just something going on. And are you ready to run in the one direction and you hear that little whisper, come to me. Jesus says, come to me. But Jesus, there's work to do. There are mouths to feed. The grass is a hay field. My family needs me. There's shopping to do. There's meals to cook. There's nurturing and caring for kids and grandkids. And there's so many other requests calling for me. I wish I could come to you today, Jesus, but not today. Maybe Sunday. Maybe I'll come Sunday. I'll come to you on Sunday, Jesus. Sunday's here. You came. But how often during the week do we really answer his invitation? Come to me. Come to me. Well, Paul is trying to compel the Galatian church and us. Let us not grow weary. Let us not lose heart. Let us not give up. You know, doing what is right, doing what is good. And what he says is, as we're led by the Spirit, bearing the fruit of the Spirit, what matters for everyone is a new creation. God is making all things new through Jesus, and he wants to make us new again and again and again. I don't know about you, but I need to be made new today. A new week, a new day, new opportunities. That's why I love golf. There's 18 opportunities for a new, you know. Oh man, blew that one. I got another chance. But for the individual, but more importantly for the church family. So Jesus says, come to me, all you are weary, all you are carrying the heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Jesus, he invites us. He invites all around us. He invites our brothers and sisters that are next to us here in the church family. And we will come forward this morning for our communion time, those who are able. Down the side aisles, bread and the cup, and there'll be a gluten-free option, bread and cup in the middle. And those who would like to be prayed for here, you know, maybe that tug on your heart is right now. Jesus says, come to me. Come to me. I'll give you rest. I am life. I am hope. Come to me. Paul's concern in this section has been the church family. And the church family back then made up of Jews and Gentiles, the rich and the poor, and white collar, blue collar, if you will. There are, you know, socioeconomic differences in what they did. But the church was getting sidetracked. You know, some legalists were coming in, and there was differences about how they thought things should go. Should it be all legalistic, this is how we do things, or should there be freedom? You know, anything goes. You know, following every law, letter of the Mosaic law, or what about what Jesus said? He summed up the law and the love command, didn't he? Love God and love others. Isn't that enough? So they debated that. Or salvation, is it by works? The more I do, you know, maybe I'll be saved. Maybe at the end of time, you know, end of my life, if I do enough good, I'll be saved. No. It's by the grace of God, a gift. It's through faith, you know. You got to believe. So the result of their bickering, as we saw last week, was a mistreatment of one another. Biting and devouring. Consuming one another. Instead of serving one another in love. So the sixth chapter, it zeroes even more in on the family, brothers and sisters in Christ, continues to explore, you know, how we're supposed to live this out in community, by the Spirit, over against the flesh, powerful words, challenging words. It's not the way of the world. It's the Lord's way. It's the life and the Spirit. Paul says a little bit more specifically what this is supposed to look like. You know, in 5:22, there's the list of the virtues. There's the list of the vices as well. But a lot of these have to do with relationships, how we manage life together. The baptized are brought into to God's family in a new way. They have new life, a new creation. And there's a new law, that of Christ, of bearing one another's burdens. And that's how we fulfill the law of Christ. That's the commission Paul is giving them, he's giving us. Bear one another's burdens, church. Bear one another's burdens. A radical mutuality. You know, assist one another. Only evaluate yourself, you know, the log in your own eye before the splinter in other people's eye. Do what is given to you to do on behalf of your neighbor, as God has done on behalf of us. We're there for others. And he's encouraging them, don't grow tired in well-doing. Don't grow weary. Don't give up. Only possible with the fruit of the Spirit. Bear one another's burdens, church. Now burden, that literally means weight. And the only weight I can think of in Scripture is, you know, hey, be careful how, if you're causing anyone to stumble, especially these little ones, it's better for you that a millstone be hung around your neck and thrown into the lake. That's a weight. So bear one another's oppressive burdens. You know, a much needed one anothering, you know, serving one another and loving one another. And so we take responsibility. You know, what are the oppressive burdens? Those weighty things in my brother, my sister's life that, you know, oftentimes we know about these things. And I know there's a lot of burden bearing going on within the church family. But let's be clear, this is one of our central things to be about as a church family. Bear one another's burdens. Commentator Lightfoot sees in this verse the Galatians' temptation. You know, they had the Judaizers came in, said, you know, shaking their finger, you've got to be doing these things. And circumcision was read again today. You know, men, you got to be circumcised. Sorry, go off to the dock. You know, you got to do that. You know, you got to eat these foods. You got to do it this way, and this is the way it's done. And so Lightfoot sees in these verses the Galatians' temptation to burden themselves with something they don't need to burden themselves with. Do you hear me? Do you hear the Lord in that? What are we burdening ourselves with? It's not of the Lord. A legalism, you know, a freedom that's going way too far. So Paul is saying in this section, these are the burdens I would have you bear. Bear one another's burdens. The errors, yes, the weaknesses, sufferings, the sorrows, that's where the work of the Spirit is to be done. Because we are a new creation. The death and resurrection of Jesus makes all things new. Bear one another's burdens, church. So we bear our brothers, our sisters' burdens. We pick up one another. We pick up one another, help brothers and sisters stand and not fall. We hold one another up. We build one another up in the body of Christ. That's the Lord's business, bearing burdens. Didn't He bear our burdens, our sin upon the tree? He bore our guilt and our shame on Himself. We don't have to bear that anymore. Sometimes a brother or sister needs to be reminded of that. Jesus took care of that guilt, that shame. Maybe we need to be reminded of that. In reading through the Psalms, there are desperate prayers. People overburdened. You've heard me say this again and again. Some of us need to go into those prayers and you can cry out to God. They cry out, where are you, God? Where are you? And then the next paragraph is, Wow, you showed up. You picked me up. You pulled me out. You delivered me. But God, who was there to rescue, to deliver. The Good Samaritan. And actually, this is a reading for next Sunday. So it's like, wow, okay, God, you got a plan. The lawyer said, who's my neighbor? And Jesus said, told a parable, the Good Samaritan. You know, there was the religious guy, the lawyer, others like that. They were aloof. A guy's laying in the road. They just kind of walked on by. Oh, can't touch that. Can't deal with that. I'm not going to deal with that. So the Good Samaritan bore that gentleman's burden. He took care of him. He took care of him until he was well. He loved him. The love command, the law of Christ. Bear one another's burdens, church. Back in verse 1, Paul uses the term restore. It's a fishing word. It means to mend as in a net. You ever go fishing with a net? That's some heavy stuff. They got to take care of those nets and be careful and prepare them because if you have a hole, you're going to lose the fish, right? So they mend the nets. That care, that time to keep everything in good repair. I think that's instructive for us, isn't it? Let me read the verse. Paul says, brothers and sisters, the New American Standard Version is this. Even if someone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, I think what Peg read was have the Spirit or in the Spirit, life in the Spirit, restore them in a spirit of gentleness. Caught in a trespass. That means they know what they've done. The guilt is there, the conviction is there, but being trapped is more like entangled, just can't get out of it. You who are spiritual, restore. So if someone is trapped in some way, stuck in a repeated pattern of falling away, you know, we who are spiritual, not we're better than everybody else, we know who we are, that we are sinners saved by grace, restore them. You who are in the Spirit, alive in Christ, filled with compassion and love, do what is right. We who are leaky vessels, who know our own faults, they were not better than anyone else. We ask God to fill us and to watch for who He brings us next to. How many times has the phone rang or a card came or someone just happened to come by or the person we're avoiding, you know, we run into them in the store and, you know, that we finally, after dodging them in three aisles, we finally run in and say, oh, so good to see you. You know, how often does that happen? Because one party is filled with the Spirit for the day. It's not once filled, always filled. We are leaky vessels, Dwight L. Moody. So I pray, Lord, fill me today. Fill me with your Spirit today and show me where to go. You got to love that. So we come alongside each other, not judging, ridiculing, or thinking that we are something we are not. Be careful, Paul says in verse 1, lest you fall, that you be tempted. Oh. So we pick a brother, a sister up. We help with their restoration. God is a God of mercy, new every morning. What would Jesus do? Jesus would shepherd his people. He would come alongside and those that he restored. And I think of Psalm 23, he makes me lie down in a green pasture. He leads me beside the still waters. You know, that non-anxious, peaceful presence of Jesus just shepherding us along. That's what the church embodies. Is Jesus Christ to shepherd. You know, that those calm waters, what does it say? Restores the soul. So we help them rest. The church embodies Jesus. And those who are helped, who experience Jesus, want nothing else, nothing more. If that's Jesus, give me Jesus. I want more of that. In the morning when I rise, and at noontime, and when I come to die, that's what I want, is the Jesus who bore our sin, who restored our spiritual lives. You know, there's another meaning for that word restore. Talk about instructive. You know, you who are spiritual, restore the one in a spirit of gentleness. It's setting a bone right. You ever broken a leg, broken an arm? And you get to the hospital and say, oh, this may hurt a little bit. They pull, screaming, and then it's, okay, we got it. It's set. Like, whoo! I've seen it, never experienced it. Saw a kid get hit by, well, I didn't see the kid get hit by a boat. They brought him into a shore, Lake of the Ozarks. Ambulance shows up right outside our little shack, and a boat comes, and a kid's on it. And somehow there's a boat. No, he was hit by a car across the bay, so they brought him straightway across, and he had a broken leg. And I heard the shouts and screams, but then I heard the, oh, of that kid once they set the bone. Sometimes God may want us in a spirit of gentleness to come alongside somebody and help them set things right in their family, in their life. Because that's what Jesus does. Helping our brother, our sister, make things right with God, with others. We can't repent for anybody. We can't turn people toward God. Only God can do that. He draws us. He draws them. But we can be Jesus. We can help pick them up, hold them up, build them up, showing God's love. And that kind of bearing and restoring needs a graciousness, doesn't it? It needs a perseverance. A constant joyful sowing. Lord, help me. It's the joy of the Lord. It's the joy of the Lord, you know. Some of you are in the trenches in your own life, and Lisa and I know a little bit about that, but God is good. And there is joy that comes in the morning. Some of you know it all too well, that the challenges. But in that graciousness, coming alongside, it needs the Spirit's presence surrounding, infusing it. And we need others infused and filled with the Spirit when we are falling, when we're hurting. It happens in community. The smaller groups, the settings, the opportunities for classes and small groups. And, you know, they continue this summer. And then the fall, it'll pick up new, even more opportunities. It happens when we get out of the pews, just sitting side by side on Sunday mornings. It's kind of nice we have wings, so you know you're kind of facing each other. But you know what I mean? We need Sundays, but we need the one anothering off Sundays, and not that facing each other doesn't happen on Sunday mornings. It's just a symbolic thing. We need those smaller settings for the loving and the caring and the helping, being there for one another. Yeah, there's a lot of people that have needs outside the church, and all this works for that too. But in this chapter, Paul says, you know, take care of the household of God too. Take care of one another. Bear one another's burdens. So they're in fellowship. They're studying the Word together. They're sharing in their spiritual growth together. And yes, in worship. Let us not get out of the habit of meeting together, because we need to encourage each other. So we seek restoration and renewal on our own behalf and behalf of our brothers, our sisters. Jesus says, come to me. Do you hear him today? Yeah, I want to come to you, Jesus. Do you want to come to Jesus today? He's ready. Come to me, all you who are weary. Carrying those heavy burdens, I'll give you rest. I took care of it. So as we come forward for communion in just a few moments, come down the side aisles and from the wings, and there's bread available and the cup and a gluten-free option, bread and cup in the middle. You may want to linger down here because Jesus said, come. And there'll be prayers offered for you here at the altar area. Or pray for one another. And we need that healing, that peace, that hope, that restoration. We need to be there for one another today. So let's linger at the altar because Jesus said, come. Come to the table. Amen.